The U.S. Supreme Court has a new justice. Chief Justice John Roberts administered the judicial oath of office to Amy Coney Barrett this morning, with just a week to go before the presidential election. The Republican-controlled Senate confirmed her last night in one of the fastest confirmations in history, and one that cements a 6-3 conservative majority on the court. Here to look at some of the big cases likely to land on her plate over the next couple of weeks is Dahlia Lithwick. She writes about the courts and the law for Slate and is host of the legal podcast Amicus. Dahlia, always good to speak with you. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
So day one for Justice Barrett on the Supreme Court. What's ahead in the first few weeks on the job?
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty bracing beginning. In the coming weeks, the court's going to hear a big, big case out of Philadelphia about whether religious foster care agencies can refuse to place kids with same-sex foster parents and accept taxpayer money. They're going to hear a big, big challenge, as probably people know if they've been listening to the hearings, signaling the end of the Affordable Care Act if the Trump administration prevails. And as soon as this Friday, even, the court's going to be deciding whether they're going to take up a big pre-viability abortion ban out of Mississippi that's directly in collision with Roe. So she's going to hit the ground running.
Yeah, going big right away. Let's dig into a few of these. She could also hear some pretty big voting cases. Yesterday, the Supreme Court did not extend the mail-in ballot deadline in Wisconsin, but it deadlocked on a similar extension in Pennsylvania last week. What can you tell us about these election cases that I know are top of mind for many people?
You know, it's so interesting because so many of them are happening on the so-called shadow docket, which means they're not briefed or argued properly. We get these sort of late-night orders, and we don't know fully the reasoning. But you're certainly right. I think that in the next coming few days with Barrett on the court, we're going to re-up that Pennsylvania case that was deadlocked 4-4 last week that would have extended the counting of mail-in ballots received within 3 days of the election. The Republican Party is now saying, we want you to look at that again. But we've got a Nevada suit with the Trump campaign trying to block counting of ballots in Clark County, North Carolina challenge about curing ballots, absentee ballots that arrive after Election Day, suit in Michigan seeking to block a new rule that would ban the open carry of firearms around polling places. Any one of these could explode into this year's Bush v. Gore.
Well, and you know, you mentioned health care. You said that you thought this signaled the end of the Affordable Care Act. Let's talk about that. What is this case that we're going to hear in just a couple of days before the Supreme Court?
It's a sort of super technical question, Peter. After Congress zeroed out the penalty in the Affordable Care Act, the question was whether the mandate itself is now unconstitutional. And the fancy legal word is severability. If the mandate is unconstitutional, does the entire ACA fall, like Jenga board? And the question before the court is this technical severability question. Can you zero out the mandate and the rest of the law survives? Judge Barrett gave us no hints what she thought of that, but it is a very technical question that'll have very, very significant real-world consequences.
Will Democrats think the law will fall under Justice Barrett? Is it too soon to know what the next steps would be if, in fact, that happens?
I mean, I think it's one of the things that was really one of the high ironies of her hearings was hearing people like Lindsey Graham say, oh, that's not going to happen. That's, in other words, we had Republicans saying, oh, no, it's never going to happen, that the whole law falls. But it's important to understand the Trump administration has come in saying that this individual mandate is not severable. The whole thing has to fall. So we don't know what's going to come next. I do think that that's the reason you've just identified why Democrats made the totality of her hearing about the ACA.
Tell me more about this first abortion-related case to come before the court, and will it likely be one that would challenge Roe v. Wade?
Yeah, I mean, we actually have a whole raft of abortion challenges coming up from all sorts of different places that have percolated up from different states. The one that the court will be discussing this Friday, we'll get an announcement on Monday, is this pre-viability abortion ban that comes out of Mississippi. This one really is directly on the nose, a challenge to Roe. But the court could choose from a whole host of others. And it is hard to imagine that right before an election, the court will take up this particular ban. I think it would be such an inflammatory act right before an election that it seems to me that they may let this percolate a while longer. There's enough other hot button things that are coming up immediately.
Well, now that the confirmation is official, so many of these issues become less hypothetical and more real world. Dahlia Lithwick writes about the courts and the law for Slate. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.